Hello everyone, and welcome to my talk on Perl in 2025. First of all, some introductions. I am P. Evans on CPAN. I've written some modules that you might be familiar with. I also currently maintain a number of core modules, things like Socket and ListUtil, which you may well not use them directly, but they probably appear somewhere in your dependency tree. I'm a Perl Foundation grantee. I have completed a project for them to write the module Future Async Await, which is a module I shall be talking about more in a moment. I am a regular on IRC, in particular in Freenode and irc.perl.org. I get a good feel for the sorts of people who are around in the community. I meet a mix of new people, experienced developers, anyone in between really. I get to see a lot of things that people are working on, see the kinds of problems that people come up against, get into a lot of discussions about the sorts of things that might be added to the language of Perl in order to help these people. So at the end of 2020, I wrote an advent calendar, and the subject of that was how it feels like to be writing Perl in the year 2020. I talked a bit about signatures, I talked about the isA operator, and I talked about some of my syntax modules. So here's a URL to that. Now hopefully by the time we upload this as a video, that will be a real clickable link somewhere in the description, but I will pause for here for a moment to let you write that down just in case it isn't. So signatures were added in Perl 5.20 by Dave Mitchell. And these follow the observation that basically every function takes a list of arguments and normally uses the list unpack syntax to assign those into some lexical variables. With a signature, you can just put those as parameter names at the end of the function name. Now on the surface, it's just a fairly small neatening of the syntax, but it kind of helps to hide the machinery going on here, especially for smaller things like little code refs that get passed around. It's just a little bit more concise, a little bit neater, but at the same time more readable than any of the alternatives you might otherwise be tempted to write. The isA operator, which I added in Perl 5.32, follows along a similar theme of trying to hide bits of machinery. So before that, if you wanted to test if a value is an instance of a particular class, you typically call the blessed function to see is this an object at all, and if so I know it's at least safe to call the isA operator, the isA method on it. So there's a CPAN module called safe isA that tries to make that thing a little bit neater. Well, I took some inspiration from that and from other places, and I implemented isA as basic operator syntax in Perl 5.32. It's nothing particularly groundbreaking, but it's just a little bit shorter, a little bit neater, similar kind of idea. So let's consider some exception handling. Now, typically in plain Perl, you might use a block eval like this. Now, there's a lot of machinery noise in here. We have to remember to return a true value like 1 at the end. We have to remember to pull out the value of the $at variable just in case another exception happens in between and we overwrite the value of it. It's also not very flexible because we can't put a return inside that eval block. It instead makes the eval itself return that value rather than the containing function. So I wrote a module called syntax keyword try, which tidies all of this lot up. That provides two new keywords, try and catch, that basically make this logic a lot neater. So the catch block down here creates a new variable for you, so you don't have to worry about the $at variable. It's also safe to put a return statement inside that block, because that's implemented properly and it makes the whole containing function return the value rather than just confusing the eval block. So it's again just a little bit tidier, a little bit neater. The async await module, now I mentioned that earlier, that is another one that just tries to tidy away, frankly, quite a lot of noise. So here is a typical piece of code that you might write using just plain futures. Now don't worry if you're not too familiar with futures and asynchronous programming, just kind of accept there's a lot of lines of code here that actually doesn't do very much, because when we use async await, that's all the behavior that's all there is here. It's much shorter, much clearer, much neater. You can look at that and instantly see what's going on here. We're just checking if a value is defined, and if not, we're awaiting on this read method. As compared to the previous code, it's a lot shorter, a lot clearer. Now, object systems. Now, there's quite a number of those already on CPAN. And all of them try to do a certain amount of neatening up and tidying of code. So in plain Perl, if you were wanting to write an object class, typically you would have to call the bless operator yourself and return this blessed hashref containing your instance data, your keys. You then use the keys in this self hash to store all your various bits of data. It's prone to things like typos and key names. It's prone to clashes of key names between subclasses and things. You can forget to pull out self out of the arguments in one of these methods. And really just there's a lot of things that can go wrong because you're writing a lot of this low-level machinery yourself. So I wrote this module called Object Pad, which tidies a lot of this lot up. It provides these keywords class, has, and method. Between those, they allow you to implement object state stored in these instance variables here that look and feel a lot like lexical variables. So there's no chance of typos in them. There's no name clashes between subclasses and things. And between them, they just tidy away all of that machinery. You don't need to care about it. So fewer bugs, shorter code, more readable code. Now, ObjectPad is inspired by an idea called Core by Curtis Poe, otherwise known as Ovid. There's a link there to the wiki describing all of that. Now, Core is very much an idea, a design, a set of thoughts by Ovid. And ObjectPad is an implementation that is loosely based on those ideas. So there's some slight differences, some slight variations, but generally His ideas inspire my implementation, and then I go off and implement things, give him some feedback about what works, what doesn't. So it's kind of a two-way process. Now, Ovid actually did a talk earlier today at FOSDEM about the subject of his core design. So if you haven't already seen that, I suggest you look that one up afterwards and go and have a look. So towards the end of the blog posts, I observed that a lot of these syntax modules can actually be combined together. So for example, we can put a return statement inside a try block, inside an async sub, and that just works as you'd expect. You can also use async method together and create asynchronous methods on object classes. Now, this particular example here has five words, two operators. That's actually performing the exact same logic as the very first case that we saw with this entire five lines worth of code. It's immediately clear and obvious by just looking at that second one exactly what's going on here. Whereas you look at the first one, it's prone to a lot of mistakes. You know, you could have typos in the key names or whatever. And just overall here, it's a huge neatening up of that code. So the very final day of the blog post, I tried to look ahead a few years to consider what sort of Perl we might be writing in the year 2025. So let's have a look at some of these ideas now. Now, some of them are fairly complete and we could just basically implement them as they stand. Others are a little bit more vague, need a bit more discussion, more thinking around them. Some of them could be implemented as CPAN modules on their own. Some of them really do need to be implemented in Perl Core itself. In a similar theme to what we've already seen already, many of these ideas could be combined together. So while they are useful on their own, they gain a lot of their power by having all of them around and being able to combine them into particularly powerful combinations. So I'll be going sort of backwards and forwards between some of the ideas and revisiting things here and there. Overall, feedback very much welcome because, as I said, some of these ideas are a little bit vague. Some of them still need a bit more thinking about them. But with that in mind, let's begin. So first of all, I think we're going to have to lose Smart Match. Now, Smart Match was a thing that was imported from Perl 6, as it was known as, now called Raku. Now in Raku has a real typing system, so values know what their type is. Specifically, they know if they're a string versus a number. In Perl 5, it's a lot less clear. Values could start off being a string or a number,